ever get a birthday present and think, wow, this is gonna matter for like decades.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're dealing with today, right?
Totally.
It's wild. Someone wrote this letter to their granddaughter, and it's basically,
Like a roadmap.
yeah, it
I mean,
is
it's
the
future.
forecast to the future for the next like 100 years.
Yeah, and it's not just anyone. It's Morris Missell. This is someone who really knows their stuff.
Exactly. This is a futurist who, when he looks at trends,
Yeah.
he's got a good sense of where things are headed.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the first things that really struck me, he dives right into talking about kids today, Generation B, he calls them,
Right.
and how they're being shaped by, well, everything happening right now, right?
Yeah.
Pandemics, this economic uncertainty, just this feeling that things are wobbly, you know?
Definitely. And you can really feel it.
And I found myself wondering, reading this, what kind of impact is this actually having on kids?
Right.
How different will their outlook on the world be, say, compared to millennials who,
Yeah.
you know, came of age in a different time?
Right. It's a different world.
So, what do you think about that? What's Mizell's take?
Well, he really thinks that this generation, they're not just going to experience change, they're going to expect it. Like, it's just the norm.
It's baked in.
Yeah, like it's just how things are.
Wow.
And he points to things like family structures. How we think about family, that's going to have to become more flexible.
Oh, interesting.
Shared responsibilities, flexible work, not by choice, really, but
Yeah.
like necessity. It's just going to have to be that way. Even predicts that family sizes will shrink, partly because of all this economic pressure.
Makes you wonder how that's going to play out over time.
Right, it's a big question.
Imagine this. You're explaining your career to your grandchild, right?
Okay, yeah.
And instead of saying, I went to college, got a job, worked there till retirement, it's more like,
It's not a straight line anymore.
it's not a straight line,
Or
it's
a...
like, I don't know, hopscotch.
Yeah, more like that.
You're all over the place.
Right, side hustles, projects, all while the world keeps changing around you.
And that's what Missell calls task-based working,
Yeah.
which again is flipping the script.
Totally.
We're raised with this idea of a career, right?
Right.
But he's saying the real skills, what you really need, are adaptability, continuous learning,
Those are the keys.
not clinging to one job for life.
Yeah, it's not going to cut it anymore.
And that's a lot to process, even for us.
I know, right?
We grew up with a different framework,
Definitely.
and we're still trying to figure out work-life balance. And
Yeah.
now it's like, oh, by the way, the whole model's changing.
That's Musil's point, though. This isn't way off in the future. It's already happening.
It's already happening.
Yeah, he argues that this instability we've been talking about, it's almost like a forcing function, you know?
Like it's pushing us to adapt.
Exactly. People are having to be resourceful, adaptable, just to get by.
That's a really interesting way to look at it.
And this part resonated with me because he's basically saying all this stuff that we're going through now,
Yeah.
as tough as it is, it's actually laying the groundwork for a more resilient future.
Wow.
Because people are learning to roll with the punches.
Right, you got to be adaptable.
Exactly.
But it makes me wonder then, how do we even begin to prepare kids for that? It's
Yeah.
like saying, all right, forget everything you thought you knew about careers. It's all about to change.
And that's where his next prediction comes in.
Oh, what's that?
AI. He sees AI playing a huge role, especially in education.
Okay, AI in education. Everyone's talking about that these days.
Right, but he doesn't see it the way most people do.
What do you mean?
It's not about robots replacing teachers.
Okay, so it's not that sci-fi nightmare.
No, not at all.
So what is it then?
He sees AI as this incredibly powerful tool to help teachers.
To be even better.
Exactly. He sees it as almost like AI could be this incredible assistant in the classroom.
Oh, okay, I like that. An assistant.
Yeah, because imagine a classroom where AI can keep track of how every student is doing,
Okay.
identify what they're good at, what they're struggling with.
So it's personalized, basically.
Totally, totally personalized learning.
No more just trying to teach to the middle and hope for the best.
Right, exactly. And Messel even talks about how AI could create these super immersive experiences like,
Like what? Give me an example.
okay, like imagine a virtual reality field trip, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the same for everyone.
Oh, interesting.
It's tailored to each kid's interests.
Wow. So if I'm super into history and you're all about the rainforest, we could both go on these amazing VR trips.
Exactly, but tailored to us.
That's pretty cool.
Right. It really makes you think, how different would our education have been?
Sign me up for that history VR trip, that's for sure. But then he takes it a step further. with this whole digital twin idea.
Oh, yeah. This is where it gets really wild.
Okay, break it down for me. What's a digital twin in this context?
So Mizell envisions a future where every child basically has this AI counterpart.
Like a digital version of themselves.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, that's a little creepy.
It's a little out there, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
But the idea is this digital twin, it grows alongside you.
Learns about you.
Learns your habits, your preferences.
Could probably predict what I'm going to say before I even say it.
Maybe. Who knows? But he argues that this could completely revolutionize everything.
Everything from, like, what? School to...
education, for sure, but also healthcare, all sorts of things.
So it's like having this AI wingman, basically.
Yeah, I like that, an AI wingman.
Helping you study for tests. Maybe even giving you career advice down the line based on, you know, what it knows about you.
Exactly.
I mean, that's both super cool and kind of freaky, right? Like, how much of my privacy am I giving up for this digital twin?
It definitely brings up a lot of questions about data privacy and security, for sure.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Mizell acknowledges those concerns.
Okay, good.
But he's ultimately optimistic about it, you know.
Okay.
He uses this interesting analogy. He compares the digital twin to a guardian angel.
A guardian angel.
Yeah, it's like this benevolent presence that's always kind of watching over you, offering guidance, helping you reach your full potential.
Okay, I like that. A guardian angel with a really good internet connection.
Exactly. But it does make you think, that's a pretty intense world to grow up in.
Right.
Right. Even with a guardian angel by your side, it's a lot.
And that's where Mizell's predictions about longevity come in.
Oh, right. He talks about people living longer, right?
Longer.
Like, how long are we talking?
He believes that by the time our grandkids are our age, living to 100, that's going to be normal.
Wow. 100 is the new 80.
Something like that.
But he's not just talking about, you know, adding a few extra years, right? It's about actually being healthy and active for all those years.
Exactly. That's the key.
So how does he see that happening? Like, what's going to make that possible?
He talks about all these medical advancements, things like personalized medicine, gene therapies.
Right. We're hearing more and more about those.
And even biodigital systems, like literally having tech inside your body, monitoring your health 24/7.
Wow. That's getting pretty sci-fi.
It is. But what I find really interesting is he doesn't dwell on the technology itself.
Because it's not really about the tech, right?
Exactly.
It's about what all that allows us to do.
Precisely.
You're going to live to be 100 and be healthy. What do you actually do with all that time?
That's the big question, right? And this is where Mizell gets really philosophical.
Okay, I love it when things get philosophical.
He says, in a future that's so dominated by technology, the things that will really matter are the things that technology can't replicate.
Okay, I'm listening. He's talking about the human stuff, right?
Exactly. All the things that make us human.
Like empathy and creativity and, like, actually connecting with people.
Yeah, building real relationships.
It's almost like he's saying, okay, so tech might give you more time, but it's up to you to actually make that time meaningful.
Right, to find your purpose.
And one of the big things he keeps coming back to is storytelling.
Oh, interesting.
He thinks that in a future where everything's data and algorithms, the human voice, the ability to tell a story, that's going to be more important than ever.
It makes sense, right? When you're constantly bombarded with information.
Totally.
The ability to cut through all that noise, to make people feel something.
That's what's going to stand out. That's
exactly.
And it's interesting because he's writing this to his granddaughter,
right?
So it's like he's talking directly to the next generation saying, this is what matters.
Yeah, like a message in a bottle almost.
And that leads us to his last big prediction. Which is kind of out there.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What is it?
He thinks that by the end of the century, we'll have figured out digital immortality.
Wow. Okay, now we're getting into some sci-fi territory.
Right. It sounds crazy.
It does.
But when you think about all the advancements we were just talking about, AI, biotech.
He's seeing those things converging.
Yeah, like they're all on a crash course.
Exactly. And Mizell thinks they'll eventually get to a point where we can preserve, I don't know, our memories, our personalities.
Like uploading your consciousness to the cloud.
Essentially, yeah.
So you're saying my great-great-grandkids could have a conversation with a digital version of me.
It's a possibility, according to Mizell.
I don't know how I feel about that. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot to unpack, ethically speaking.
We've got a big question.
For sure. But Mizell, he sees it as a way to extend our legacy.
Okay, how so?
It's like, even after we're gone, the stories we tell, the experiences we've had, those can live on.
we're bridging that gap between generations.
Exactly.
That actually reminds me of that saying, you die twice, once when you stop breathing, and again when the last person who remembers you is gone.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Maybe this is a way to keep those memories alive.
It's a fascinating thought, that's for sure.
It really makes you think about what legacy even means.
Right, because it's not just about money or accomplishments. It's about the impact you have on others.
The love, the stories. That's what we pass down.
Exactly. And that brings us right back to Mazel's letter to his granddaughter, right?
It does. It all comes full circle.
This deeply personal message about the things that matter in a world that's changing faster than ever.
And it's a good reminder for all of us to really be present, to think about the stories we're creating with our lives.
Because in the end, those stories, those connections,
that's our legacy.
Exactly. That's what lives on.
Wow. What a thought to end on.
Right. It really makes you think.
It does. It really does. Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive. It's been quite a journey.
My pleasure. I always love these conversations.
And for everyone listening, remember, the future isn't something that just happens to us.
We're all writing it together.
Every choice we make, every story we tell, it all adds up. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for listening.